talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. To talk to George toll-free from west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may talk to George by dialing their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. Live from the beautiful island of Oahu, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, it's so remarkable about this program. My daughter just called me during the top of the hour break, and she's going to Salt Lake City for a little vacation with her family. And she said, Dad, Coast to Coast is on all these radio stations. And she's been living all her life in St. Louis, so she really didn't understand the scope of all this until you go out there. And it is big, and that's one of the reasons we're in Hawaii this weekend. A big event tomorrow for Coast to Coast listeners who listen to the program on KHVH, which is 8:30 a.m. So I'm looking forward to that, and then I'll be going right back home to Los Angeles, and we'll be there Monday. Don't forget this weekend, Art Bell. I'll be back in a moment, though.
Round ball, open the door. And I open up, and there's a guy sitting there, like a doctor's coat on. He turns around and actually passes right out on the floor. I look down, I got a toe tag on my toe. I walk out the door, walk to the administration right down the corner of the down the corridor. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. She goes, oh, my God, you're the guy who saved that kid's life. You're dead, she said. I said, what? And I couldn't, everybody came running at me and everything was like unbelievable. I was actually pronounced dead and put in the friggin' morgue. In the cooler with the tag on my toe and everything.
My God. You're lucky they didn't begin to embalm you.
Well, no, you don't embalm me. You go to a funeral home. They take you to a funeral home, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? But I was in the hospital, I was in the cooler. I didn't look side to side. There could have been another corpse there or not. But
How long were you in that
state? I was pronounced dead for 10 minutes, and I was in there for like 7.
Unbelievable.
I had the white sticky things on my chest and everything.
While this was going on, did you see, you know, the other side or anything like that?
Well, I'll tell you, George. When I woke up, I smell honey. I smell like honey. This happened to me 3 times. Well, I'm telling you what I smelled. 3 times I smelled like honey. Like really clean, pure, sweet smell. Like really sweet. That's all it smelled like, I think. 3 times
well,
it happened.
I'll tell you what. So, maybe you did go to the other side.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something, George. I have a thing about me. Yes, I do turn off streetlights, too. I don't know why, but I always thought that was just me, okay? That was because I passed away 3 times. I'm not kidding you. I swear
well,
to God,
see,
I passed away 3 times.
And now you know other people can do the same thing, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I got it. No, this really kind of, this clinched me. So I knew that. I figured that after you, this has been going on for like a couple of years when Art Bell told me this. And I was like, wow, let me listen to Art Bell. And so I've been realizing more. I thought other people had this, you know, thing. But what if they had died and came back to life, too? This is what it makes their lights go off. But that's nothing. There's nobody there. And I can like, hear the organ music. Everybody's no organ playing. I can always hear it. I don't know why when I go to a church. I'll tell the organ's not playing that. It looks great. And I'm sitting there, I'm sitting in the pew and I'm praying. And I get up and genuflect. And as I turn around, the priest, he looking right at me. He says, my God, son, he says, you are blessed. You have an aura to you, he says.
I was going to say,
I said, Father, you don't
soul.
Know the story. And I told him the story. It's here. He said, it was actually tingling. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of the greatest stories I've heard in a long time, and I'm glad you agree that good will always beat evil. Thanks. You take care of yourself. Call anytime. Wildcard line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Tom calling from Reno.
Hi there. What's going on?
You know, I lived there in Honolulu for about 8 years, and there's a certain magic when I first moved there.
Oh, let me tell you, from what I've seen, which hasn't been a lot, mm-hmm. It is gorgeous out here.
It's beautiful there, and still I miss living there, and I've been here in Reno now for about 7 years, and there's certain spots there that you'll really feel it at. Over by Waimea Bay, there's a hei out that overlooks the bay there, and there's a certain feeling there that some friends took me there one night, and it was pretty late, and you go wrap a kitty for around the rock, and you put it on the altar out there, and that, and just an aura there or something. There's a feeling there that I had my spiritual awakening there, over by the college, in fact. There's a spot called Paradise Park, and you should go back there and check that out. You can go hiking back there. There's a waterfall back there, and there's a bamboo forest up there. And
well, I've got to come back, because I'm not going to have a lot of time for tourism things on this trip.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's
really
pretty
too bad.
I've got to be back on a plane back to Los Angeles Sunday morning, so no time to play, not on this trip.
Well, have a good time while you're there, though.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
That usually when you dream of that, there's something in your life that you feel is out of your control. And when I realized that, I was able to control those dreams.
How do you know you weren't having dreams, premonitions?
I had wondered about that because they felt so real.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This thing was just scary, and then I'm told that weather forecasters are predicting in the Midwest, for example, a record. I don't know how they can do this, but they're saying that there'll be a record tornado season, and maybe my dreams tied into that. I don't know. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. This is Steve in Lower Lake, California.
Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Well, I heard some amazing news yesterday morning on the national media.
What'd you hear?
I heard that they have discovered some soft tissue and some skin of the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
You are absolutely right. You think they can clone this now?
I certainly hope so. But for 35 years, George, I have been telling everyone who would listen that the dinosaurs never became totally extinct. It's just that we call them birds today. And
no, that's true. You are right.
And in fact, the cells that they discovered, they say are similar to ostrich cells. But I have heard very little about this, and anything you could add to this for me would you know, I've been fascinated with dinosaurs ever since I was a wee tyke, and I was born in 1950.
We're working on doing a program, if not a one-hour segment, with the researchers on this. So you make sure you're listening.
I listen every night, George.
Oh, great. So you won't miss it when we do it. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
My jury is still out on cloning a person. But if they have the ability with this Tyrannosaurus Rex tissue, would you be in favor of them creating one, cloning a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Absolutely. It would be the most spectacular thing I could imagine.
Me too, except that I think about Jurassic Park, and I know deep inside somebody somewhere is going to screw it up, and this thing's going to go crazy one
place. Oh, George, it's just an animal. It's just a big, beautiful, wonderful animal, and they could clone a male and a female, and they could just have fun together. There would be no problem. Just give them a good habitat to live in.
But it would be fascinating to see, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, but how amazing. See, I don't have hardly any detail on this. I don't know if the tissue was fossilized or not. I don't know if the skin is fossilized or not. I don't know what they could tell about it or not. I just heard just a brief mention of it on the news, and then I called a friend, and she had read a little article on it, a little paragraph in a magazine. So apparently they found it in Utah about a month or so ago.
Yep, it was in some bone marrow of a prehistoric Tyrannosaurus Rex, and,
yeah, so, and
they're just marveled by it.
Anything that you could add to the information, the tiny bit of information I have, would be greatly appreciated. And let me say that I live.
Well, I can tell you that Tyrannosaurus Rex was they estimated that it was 19 years old when it died. How about that?
Well, it was a fairly young one, I guess.
Yep.
But let me tell you, I lived in Hawaii for 5 years. And let me say to all my Hawaiian friends, what bra? Bada you.
Thanks.
That's it. Thank you, George.
Okay, you take care of yourself. Whatever that means. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Are you there? Nope. Let's go to our East of the Rock.
Again, I was gone for like 16 years.
They say you can never go back home.
Well, not exactly.
Remember the old saying?
Oh, there's so many things that, like you said, a lot of stuff. Well, there's a lot of stuff from the time that I was away, like paranormal stuff. I mean, there was so much a few years back. I put a bunch of stuff together in a fax, and I sent it to Art, thinking, well, maybe he'll call me. anyway, there's still stuff going on and ongoing. And seizure in Hawaii, well, that was another decision that I should have made back in 74 because I had planned to go to Hawaii. But I thought, well, if I go there, I won't come back because everything I heard about was so beautiful.
Oh, it is. It is gorgeous.
Oh, I just love to go there. I'd love to be there now.
What's the most unusual paranormal experience you've ever had in your life?
The most unusual? Oh, actually, just a year or two ago, I had a lightning went right through me. Lightning?
What?
Yes. Right in my backyard.
Did it knock you down? Knock you out?
No. No, I felt it. I felt it. I felt it through my feet, through my hands. In fact, I was walking along slowly. There was lightning all around. And, you know, for some reason, I had to walk across the backyard. And I reached out, and I went to touch this metal ring thing that I have back there to exercise on because, well, that's another story. I've got lots of injuries and, you know, I was trying to... Anyway, I reached to touch this thing. I just reached it, and there was literally sparks shooting out of my fingers. And there was, like, one of my brothers working in the backyard garage, and he had two or three friends standing there watching. And one of the guys, he's seen it. I know he's seen it for sure. He was watching, and I know he's seen it because he was just like, his mouth dropped open, and I was like, my God.
You're lucky, anyway. Girl, that you're still alive.
Yes, and another thing.
I don't have time. I got to run.
Ed Danes? Can you get Ed Danes to get in touch with me?
Can I?
Yeah.
No, you email him.
Oh, email him because there's stuff going on I think he could help me out with.
Like what? You email him. Why am I going
to
email him?
I don't know what to say to him. It's about gold.
Well,
a load of stuff.
Between you and that, I got to run. Got to run before. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
This is Trish from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada calling.
Hello, Trish.
Do you remember me from The Legend of Baby Santo?
Yes.
Yes, this is me again.
You almost won the contest, by the way.
Did I really?
For the favorite phone call. Yes, you came in third.
I cannot believe that you chose that to even be a part of that. What a miracle.
It was a heartwarming story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Or mahalo. You know, and good will win, absolutely, just as you said. And what you do and your program, your forum, is an agent of that. Because
well,
you know
you,
my
Trish.
Story of my little kitty, right?
I loved the story of Baby Santos.
Oh, After I got on your show, which was such a miracle, and then I found out that you replayed it, I Googled Baby Santos, and I had found that somebody had been inspired, who listened to your show, had been inspired to create a website devoted to him.
Really?
Yes, and it's huge, and it's about how love heals.
Then that is so true, too. That's
it
great.
Is, and there's been, like, there's a guest book, and there's been, like, hits from Saudi Arabia and London and all over the world. You know, so you have brought this, you know, goodness to the world.
Oh,
and,
no, you did it. It was your story.
You're a part of the legend now, George.
I'm now the part of the Baby Santos legend. That was a great story, Trish.
And I think we sent you a picture on email of Baby Santos, because you know how he was a kitten forever?
Yeah.
Did you ever get that?
We sure did.
Did you see him?
Yeah, he was cute.
Oh, he's wonderful, but...
But like you said, he never grew up.
Exactly. He was 4 years old when that picture was taken.
And still looked like a little tiny kitten.
Oh, yeah. But he has come to see me since then.
He has?
Like, do you remember when I called you? Because
yes,
I was actually on Maui when he died.
Yes, I remember that. You were having a little vacation. You were questioning whether you should leave, and you finally went. You came back, and he had passed on.
Yes, and he had come to me when he had passed, and I had known that. He has given me like 50 plus signs from the other side.
Well, just, see, it exists, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's absolutely amazing. Like, you know how you were talking about dreams earlier?
Well, but the legend, I got to take my break.
Okay.
But the legend of Baby Santos lives on forever, doesn't it?
It sure does. Thank you
okay.
so much, George.
All right. Thanks, Trish. The legend of Baby Santos. That was a great story. I'll be back in a moment. We still got another half hour to go of Full Moon Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.
sure about this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty.
Well, I'm out of trouble.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. To talk to George toll-free from west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may talk to George by dialing their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. Live from the beautiful island of Oahu, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, let me give you a quick schedule for the rest of the Coast to Coast. Of course, we've got art this Saturday and Sunday. Then Monday, first hour, our guest will be Doris Wild-Helmering. She is a nationally known psychotherapist. She's going to talk about just trying to kick some habits and fascinating theories that she'll have. That's just for the first hour. And then for the rest of the program, our guest David Pinchbeck will be talking about the prophecies of the Mayan calendar and crop circles. Tuesday, Richard C. Hoagland, first hour guest, as we talk a little bit more about some inside information about JPL. That's the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Now, I had told Richard, because he was going to be in Los Angeles, negotiating with some movie people to drop in the studio. So it's very possible that Richard C. is going to be in the studio with me on Tuesday. And then the full guest for the rest of the program will be Dr. David Humes as we talk about the shamans and ancient rituals. It's going to be different. Wednesday, there's going to be a debate between physicist James McCanney and Dr. David Morrison as we talk about the theories of Velikovsky. As you know, Velikovsky believes that Venus is only 6,000 years old, and James McCanney agrees with that. Thursday, Stephen Quayle back as we talk about his latest book, Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America, and then back to open lines on Friday, April 1st. And guess what we're going to do on April 1st? Well, think about that. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wildcard line. Welcome to Coast, and you are on the air with us. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. I'm well. Thank you, George. My name is Matthew. I'm from Massachusetts.
Whereabouts in Massachusetts? That's my mother's old home state, Matthew.
I'm in Worcester County in Franklin.
Okay. You're pretty close. You're about 50 miles out of Fitchburg, right?
Yes, I am.
Yep. That's where she was born, in that little tiny town.
A nice little town. I enjoyed it.
What's going on tonight?
I just called to let you know that there are those of us amongst you who are not from your world, not from your plane of existence at all.
Oh, really?
I have traveled many lifetimes on Earth.
Where might you be from, Matthew? Are you from another dimension, or are you from the... Aha, okay. I could believe that.
I am from a realm called Severancia.
How did you end up where we are now?
I got in a bit of trouble and got sent on a journey to redeem myself.
And that was to come here?
Here, there, many places.
And how
wonderful deeds.
To all of us, I hope.
For all who deserve it.
And are you doing this?
Every day of my life.
How long do you have to do this now before they let you come back?
Hopefully at the end of this lifetime. maybe sooner if they if the world opens up and changes, as you believe 2012 will cause.
Well, that's true. There's going to be some change around 2012. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I am curious, though, about your other existence. Is it a physical world?
For us, when you're there, yes. For you, it wouldn't be right now. But when you if you travel there, it is physical to you.
What would it look like?
Sivrancia is a realm of unparalleled order. All buildings are in a straight line, straight corners. It's just absolutely perfect order.
Well, how many years would you, if you can categorize it like this, how many years would you say you were ahead of us in terms of knowledge?
We're the same as you.
Oh, you are?
All knowledge is known by every being, or at least accessible by every being.
Accessible. I would agree, accessible. I'm not sure about whether we know it all. I mean,
well,
do you still have... Do you have crime there?
Yes, but we have enforcement that is relatively easy. You see, in this world, what you would call magic is pretty well forbidden for years and, you know, looked down upon for so long, it's grown weak. There, we don't have the problem with the court systems and whatnot because we have the magics to tell the truth.
Do you believe in a creator?
There are creators. All things come from a centralized force, but we believe that this force is not sentient itself. We are the sentience meant to... We're all an aspect of this great force. In a sense, it's the entirety of all the universes trying to figure itself out.
How many different universes? How many different universes are out there, do you know?
You can't count. It's pretty well infinite. I mean, as one may die at one point, another is born.
And they're all pretty similar. They all have star systems and things like that?
Some have star systems and things like the universe as you know it and planets. Some are nothing but just a continuous mass of land and rivers and oceans. Others are devoid of all objects except for floating beings everywhere. Some are so vile that even the gods are afraid of them.
When you say that you're trying to help us, have you intervened in some episodes and things like that?
Yes, I have on a few occasions.
Can you give me an example? Just to give me an idea?
I've stopped a couple of rape attempts. I've traveled 1,500 miles to assist people after the hurricanes. I go where I'm needed when I'm called. I've fought demons on a few occasions. That's always a fun one.
It sure is. Well, but you don't know how long you're going to be here doing these good deeds.
Until I've earned my redemption. In the eyes of my God, I have earned my redemption.
It sounds like you're a fallen angel or something.
I had a very interesting story. A few weeks ago, I was listening, and you were talking about things that were evil. And about a year and a half ago, moved here from Middle Tennessee, Nashville, Franklin area.
Yeah.
And for years, I owned a recording studio down there and worked in the recording industry. And I happened to be working with a fairly well-known artist. Most people would know him in the rock world. I'd rather not say his name over the radio. But nonetheless, we were working on one of his songs that he co-wrote with two other people, and it was for a record that was for a good cause and a charity. And so he was donating his time, and I was recording the whole thing as the engineer, and at one point we were working through the vocals, and one of the songwriters had sang a scratch track, and we were trying to edit a few things, and so I had the assistant engineer scrub through and find a place. I had to go get the phone, and when I came back, he said, "You've got to hear this." I said, "What?" He said, "Listen to this." And with digital technology, you have the ability to hit a couple buttons and play something backwards. He played the vocal line solo backwards, and in the backwards of what it said was, "Satan no more." So we couldn't believe it. We were freaked out. So the producer and a few other guys came in a couple days later, and the three songwriters, and me and the assistant engineer, and I said, "You guys got to hear this. This is wild, you know, because it was a very good cause for the recording, and we kind of felt, you know, up against the wall through the whole thing.
I understand, yeah.
So I had sat down and played this thing for these guys, and they couldn't believe it. And when I work, I don't work with my time code being on Sempty, because the frame section only gives 30 frames, because we usually work in 30 frames, and it misses. Each frame is 3 milliseconds, and I like to work in milliseconds. So when I went and stopped the tape, I looked over after these guys were going, wow, that's crazy. It says Satan No More. We couldn't believe it. Nobody tried to backmask it. When it hit stop, the millisecond reading said 666. Everybody's fine.
That's chilling.
It was absolutely chilling.
That is chilling. Thanks for the story.
You're very welcome. I thought I'd share that with you.
I love it. Coast to Coast continues in a moment. Well, time to go to our wild card line right here on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Where are you calling from?
Aloha. This is Faith calling from the Garden Island of Kauai.
You're very close to where I am.
Yes, we've talked before, George, about shadow people.
Yes.
And, but tonight I just wanted to tell you a story about when my father passed away. I was very close to my dad, and I had to come from California to northern Kentucky. And I had received a little pink wind-up sewing machine from him when I was a little girl and we lived in the Philippine Islands. And I had passed it on to my niece there in Kentucky, and I was sleeping in her room the night that I arrived before the funeral. And this noise kept going off in her closet. I could hear it coming from the closet. It would stop, go back to sleep, and the noise, it was like a whirring noise. I couldn't figure out what it was. I just ignored it. I tried to just sleep through it. In the morning, my sister came in to wake me, and she heard it. It was going off, and she's like, what the hell was that? And I said, I don't know. It's been going off all night long. And she opened my niece's closet doors, and my niece had not touched the sewing machine in quite some time. And she pulled the sewing machine down. She figured out, my sister did, what it was. It was in the box, and the little sewing machine was going
insane. If it could only write, I wonder what it would have been writing, right?
Oh, yeah, he was telling me he was okay, though.
Yeah.
You have to come to Kauai, George. It's the Garden Island. It's the oldest island. It's a beautiful, beautiful, magical place.
How far away is that from Honolulu?
Well, I know it's just like a 20-minute plane ride, but we're the oldest island. It's the mother island of all the Sandwich Islands, which is what... Oahu is, and Molokai, and Kauai, and Niihau, Lanai, and the Big Island.
Are you coming to this event tomorrow?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not. I wish I could, but I'm not.
See?
But, yes, and people, the gentleman that called, I think, earlier from Rhode Island or one of the places back east that had lived here, or lived on the islands. He was talking pidgin. You'll hear a lot of the local people talk pidgin here.
Pidgin.
So yeah, it's pidgin. It's
like
a combination
Klingon
of English and Hawaiian and Portuguese. It takes some getting used to, but once you've lived here, brah, you know how to speak the pidgin.
You got it. Well, maybe on my next trip, I'll come out here on this way. All right, thanks for the call.
Yes, please come to Kauai. Aloha and mahalo.
Okay. I love it. It's great talking. I landed at the airport. They pelted me with flowers. It was really neat. It really was. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Hey. Hi. Cool I got on.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And sure. I just wanted to say something about that guy that called in earlier. It was great radio. The hell guy.
Oh,
and the
Oscar?
Way you can... Oh, yeah, it was great. Loved it.
I think he was real.
It was great the way it was great radio, and I listened to a lot of talk radio. Yeah, you handled it very well. Anyways, what I wanted to say was, this is the first. I'm a little nervous, but this.
Oh,
is the
you're
first,
doing well.
All right, thanks. I grew up in a small town in Idaho called Soda Springs, Idaho, and it has a geyser there, and it's in Ripley's, believe it or not, for like the first man-made geyser. But me and my friend John were walking down this road, and there was this long fence, and they didn't want anybody going there, but we went in there, and there was this long creek, and as we turned this corner, and there was some like broken like buildings or ruins from an old building that had been there, and I swear I saw seals there, and
seals.
I never told this story to any, not even my wife. She'll probably tell her. I'll probably tell her now. But
you have to now.
Yeah. but I always and when we got closer to the water wasn't that deep, so. The more I thought about it, and the more, you know, I've listened to your show and stuff like that, and about intuition and maybe ways, like visions, like even that American Indians had, maybe that was the future of the planet, that seals will be in southern Idaho.
Maybe you saw a vision, because there's no way they're in southern Idaho right
now.
Yeah,
no way at all, no way. I just thought that would be an interesting story.
I love it. Okay, hey, thanks. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Weekend is underway very shortly. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Andy calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, Andy. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I'm calling about the sad and unfortunate Terry Schiavo episode that's ongoing.
Oh, yeah. It sure is.
I mean, it's sad, and I just have an observation. I mean, it seems that most of the major televised media, CNN, C-SPAN, and so on, is it seems like they're trying to portray that the popular public opinion is that Terry Schiavo should remain off the feeding tube and go on the course of dying. But you look at Fox News or say Ed Coast, for instance, which I think crosses over any type of political ideology. We have Republicans, Democrats, they all listen to you on here. And it seems like all the callers, or the good majority, are of the opinion that the feeding tube should be put back in. And I don't understand why the opinion that they're trying to portray is of such, and why, I mean, the Republicans are coming out and trying to, and I'm not trying to make it a political battle here, it's about Terry, but why is it that the Republicans are coming out and trying to save this woman's life, and the Democrats are remaining silent? Is this turning into a political issue, or...
Yeah, of course. It is indeed a political issue. Let me make a quick statement about it. You can listen on your radio. It has become political. It has become, I think, unfortunately, a tremendous dividing point within this country. It's almost like the Iraqi war is right now as well. Did you notice that the president's popularity is at the lowest it has ever been? But, you know, do you believe polls or not? Because some of these polls that I've seen shows that 67% of you, 67% want that feeding tube continually removed and don't want it put back in. I mean, to me, I would have thought it would be the other way around, quite frankly. So maybe I'm in the minority on this. All I know is this weekend, regardless of how you feel, do say a prayer for Terry Schiavo. You owe that to her, I think, as a person that should have some compassion, if you would. I'll be back on Monday. We've got Art Delakin, of course, on Saturday and Sunday. A whole full week of programs again for you. I'll be popping back on a plane in another day or so, going back to Los Angeles. And then sometime in May, I'll be going back to the Cave for several weeks in St. Louis. So to everybody here at KHVH, thank you for making all this work for us. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you people tomorrow, those of you who live in Hawaii. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudersour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.